Hey, thanks for joining me. It's that hour of mercy, an hour of power. We'll join together now, and we will invoke God's great mercy. And if you have a need, you have a special intention you're praying for, feel free to join us. I'm so grateful for your prayers for me. I've had a lot of answered prayers as a result of this chaplet, and I want to pray for you as well. You can get in, by the way, if you're new. I know we have quite often listeners who say, I just found Relevant. I love it. Let me give you the number. I just take it for granted. Everybody knows. It's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Love to hear from you. Love to pray for you as well. Maggie is my producer. She is on the board, and she is taking your prayer intentions on Twitter as well. And you can simply go to @DrewMarianiShow. That's @DrewMarianiShow on Twitter and post your intentions there. She'll bring them to you today. I mean, if you get in now, she'll give voice to those. And Maggie, I saw your email go to our web designer a little bit earlier today because I thought we had Twitter on our webpage, @Relevant, you know, on our show page for the show, but apparently we don't. So we'll try to get that remedied for people who don't have Twitter because I think you can still, you know, post there, at least get your information up there. So we're working on it, trying to make it available to you. Thank you for the answered prayers. Got several of those who came in as well. Tomorrow, I think I'll share a few more of those, but you can email me those answered prayers. My email is simple. It's drew@relevantradio.com. drew@relevantradio.com. Mark it answered prayer or praise report, and then tell me how God has answered your prayer through this chaplet. And we get lots of them. I'm so grateful for it. We just want to share a letter that came in here, too. And I know not everybody has email. Not everybody can tweet. This person wrote to us here and says, Dear Drew, could you please include several prayers for conversion and salvation in the chaplet? And that's a prayer that God always hears and answers. I'm convinced of it. This is for Bill. He's 60 years old, and he's divorcing his wife because he found a younger woman. Ow. He says he still loves his wife. He doesn't want to hurt her, but I don't regret what I did, he says, and I'd do it again. I mean, you talk about painful, right? Anyone who suffered infidelity or betrayal like that, that is a icy cold knife to the heart. That's a tough one. So let's pray for the conversion of Bill, right? Grace will reach him. Maybe the scales will come off his eyes. Maybe he'll be able to see reality for what it is and truly see how deeply he's wounded his spouse. They go on to write, could you pray for two priests who left the church in the 1990s? I don't know whether I'll keep their name private. I won't give out their names. One became a Protestant and started a mission to convert Catholics. Definitely pray for him, right? And also for the other priest who joined with several laypersons to start a large breakaway Catholic parish. The final two intentions are for another priest. His name is Father Bob, who's on leave and living openly right now with a woman. And for Kimberly, who shared this story with me and doesn't see anything wrong with what he's doing. You know what this says to me as I read this letter? There's so much confusion. Sin is it's a poison that darkens the mind. It befuddles your thinking. Many great theologians put it very simply, it makes you stupid, right? Sin makes you dumb is what it does because these decisions are ridiculous. Eternity's a long time, and there are consequences for the rejection of God and his laws. This is the beauty of our faith, right? It doesn't matter how sinful you are, what kind of mistakes you made, how wrong your thinking once was, God's mercy is for you, right? The greater the sinner, St. Faustina wrote in her diary, the Lord told her, the greater the sinner, the greater the right they have to my mercy. So those people who are so far away from God right now, they have a greater right to mercy than maybe even you. The greater the sinner, the greater the right that they have to his mercy. And it's God's greatest attribute. It's a mystery. Pray for that son, that daughter, that spouse, that coworker, that person that wounded you, person who you don't think deserves God's mercy, and ask God to give them the grace of conversion. And I'm convinced he will. And we'll only see how all this plays out when we stand on the other side of this life. I'm joined by my colleague, I'm going to call you Maggie May. May is not actually your middle name, but
it's not.
I just like to say that.
It's Mary, but I mean, pretty close.
That's short, right?
Yeah.
Maggie
yeah.
May. I want to call you Maggie May all the time. Anything you want to pray for? Anything coming up?
Well, you know, we just did a segment on birth rates, fertility rates. Yep. I just would like to pray that Joe and I would be able to have children.
I'm saying you're having twins.
I know. You know what? That's like the weird word around the office. Twins. Is that Jim had a dream that we were going to have twin boys, and Neil told me that his little girls were praying that we were going to have twin boys, and I was like, all wow. right, let's go.
Yeah, knock it out. 2-1. That's a good way to go, right? 9 months, 10 months of pregnancy, and
you get
2-for-1. We'll pray for you, Mac. I know God brought Joe into your life and you into his, and life is a tremendous blessing. It's one of the greatest gifts you can have. And I want to pray for anyone who can't have children. There are a lot of people who struggle in that area. It's hard. It really is very difficult. I want to pray for them and for whatever God's got in store for you. You never know. I might hear soon that, hey, my producer's going to be on leave because this is a powerful prayer, this chaplet. All right, we'll pray for that, and let's pray for you now. If you are on hold, I'll do my best to get you on. You know what I need to pray for, too? The Holy Father. The Holy Father, let's pray for him. I prayed for him this morning at Mass. I prayed for him on my rosary on the way into the studio here. The Holy Father had, if you didn't hear this, he had to have abdominal surgery, and he had to undergo general anesthesia. So let's pray for a prompt recovery. Anybody who goes through surgery, it's always a difficult return. And then our colleague Josh had reached out to us, and I promised him I would be praying for him. And his aunt has just diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, and they are asking for prayers. And he says it's okay to use the name Judy in Billings, Montana, on the air. So, Aunt Judy, we are praying for you, all right? Hang in there. We'll be sure to continue to pray for you, all right? Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call today comes from Mary. She's praying with us in Minnesota. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Drew and Maggie. Thank you so much for your ministry and for taking my call. I'd like everyone to pray for my daughter, who is representing herself without an attorney tomorrow at a hearing at 10:30 tomorrow morning regarding her ex-husband, who is seeking 75% custody of their children. Please, prayers to the Holy Spirit, who will hopefully guide them, guide our daughter and the judge, and soften her ex-husband's heart. We trust that God's will be done. Jesus, I trust in you. And for conversion of all family members, healing of all mental illness and family, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for an answer to all prayers, and praying that all who are praying the chaplet have their prayers answered.
All right. Well, let's pray for your daughter especially. Thank you for those beautiful prayers, Mary. We'll lift up all that. Mental illness is another really important intention to pray for. So many families struggle with that. But Lord, I pray for those who are facing legal challenges, those who are seeking custody. In particular, we pray for Mary's daughter here in this hearing, that she be given eloquence and intelligence and a special residence with those who will determine and make this decision. And I pray for this mother and for her children. And I pray for healing of broken relationships and marriages where there is division, where there is hurt. Lord, I just pray for healing. I give you that heart, and I give you those situations as we pray. Eternal Father, We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Darlene is in Madison, Wisconsin. Hi, Darlene. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew and Maggie. And congratulations on your marriage, Maggie.
Yeah.
Thanks,
you just
Darlene.
You look so happy. You look so happy. I am calling to ask for prayers from your listeners. I had a colonoscopy on Monday related to digestive problems, and they found 4 polyps. I should be receiving the biopsy results soon. Please pray that the results will not indicate any serious problems. Thank you. And I also would like to pray for my 93-year-old brother, who is now in hospice care and very close to death. I'm just praying that I will be able to get to him and to visit with him before he passes. Thank you very much. And thank you, both of you, for bringing so much comfort and hope to all of your listeners.
Oh, Darlene, you're so sweet. Thank you. We are going to pray in particular for your results. You know, I know how frightening that can be, and we'll pray that those polyps are simply benign. Right? Well, Lord, I ask you to just touch, to heal, to give Darlene not only that answer, but to allow her to be there with those that she loves, especially in those final moments. We want to pray for that soul. I want to pray for all those who are approaching the threshold of new life, those who will soon be greeted by our Lord. And Lord, I just pray for conversion for those who reject you, for those whose hearts are hard, those who are blinded by that sin. And I just pray for peaceful and happy death for all those you are calling home. And I pray in particular for the hour of my own death, as well as those who now pray with me, that we'll be able to receive the sacraments and we'll be greeted by you as a loving and merciful Father, or Lord, I should say. Lord, I give you those intentions. I also want to pray for an intention that just came in. This is for the daughter of a Christian husband and wife who run a small thrift shop in New Mexico. The daughter is missing, and she went missing from this thrift shop. The mother can't sleep, is nauseous and worried, and we just ask, Lord, you return that child. We just ask that nothing nefarious has happened, and we just pray for return of this child to its parents. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of that, of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Mary Lou, who is in Michigan, a lot of Michigan calls. Good to see Michigan joining us. Margaret, what is coming in today? What do you got?
Hartog wrote to us on Twitter and said, please pray for my mother-in-law, Barbara, who's been fighting tongue cancer, and it has now spread to her lungs. Her biopsy is on Thursday. We're asking for Father Ubald's intercession for a miracle of complete healing. Thank you so much, Relevant Radio family. Allie wrote to us and said, please pray for me. I have been having difficulty swallowing for more than a year, and it has been hard to eat and drink. Wow, Allie, prayers going up. Diane wrote to us and said, I'd like prayers for my brother Rich's new appliance repair business to take off after he lost his job of 47 years. She says, I love my big brother, and I hope for his success. Anonymous wrote to us and said, Divine Mercy Prayer Warriors, please pray for my son and my son's partner. they're in a homosexual relationship, I pray that they would be healed of their wounds and find truth. Rose wrote to us and said, please pray for Mary that she gets her passport today. We are leaving for pilgrimage tomorrow.
Oh boy, that's close.
Down to the wire. And then lastly, I posted a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus yesterday on Twitter, and it just took off, and it just made me realize how desperately we need his Sacred Heart. And so I just want to pray for an increase of love and devotion to his mercy and his love, his heart, in this month.
Yeah, that went all over, didn't it? Are you surprised by that, that so many people responded to that Sacred Heart image?
I'm not that surprised, but I think it's exactly what we've been saying, that don't spend so much time cursing the darkness, yeah, but light a candle.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot, don't we?
I think that image is just a candle.
It is, and such a strong parallel between the Sacred Heart devotion, its promises, and divine mercy. And I almost think the Lord came back to St. Faustina because the world kind of missed out on that Sacred Heart devotion. You'd be surprised at the connection, the thread, the parallels between those two devotions. Well, let's entrust all this to the Sacred Heart of our Lord right now. We'll include Mary Lou, who is listening to us in Hillman, Michigan. Hi, Mary Lou. Thanks for praying with us.
Thank you, Drew, for taking my call. I'm praying for a miracle for a young couple expecting their first child. Had the ultrasound the other day. The baby's very small. The doctor said there's a lot of problems and they wanted to abort it. And the young couple refused to abort it.
Good for them.
And the baby is due the 1st of August. So we are praying for a miracle for this young couple.
Well, we're going to join you in that, Mary Lou, right now. And I thank
you.
Thank you for that call. I want to pray for you, too. I know you didn't say anything personally and ask for prayers, but Lord, I give you your daughter, Mary Lou's heart. You know, every one of those intentions that she's asked you for, and I just ask you to be merciful to her. But I want to pray for these parents who thankfully refuse to terminate their child because it might be born with these complications. God's bigger than those scans. God's bigger than those tests, right? God can heal in an instant. And I call upon St. Paczynski and Blessed Fulton Sheen, two men credited with these miraculous resurrections in the wombs of children. Lord, I just pray right now for those troubled pregnancies right now and for those children that may have challenges. And I just ask you, embrace the children. You said, bring them unto me. I give you these children. And I ask for a real divine mercy miracle here for a healthy birth. We pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Darien, Illinois. Therese, thanks for praying with us. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew, for praying the chaplet with us. I want to pray today for my father, for his needs and intentions, and for my sister-in-law, for healing for her eyes and that she never suffered loss to her eyesight.
Okay. We'll lift up those intentions right now. Lord, I just re-echo that. We give you all those that we love, those that we are praying for, their intentions as well, especially those who've asked us to pray for them. I want to bring them forward. I want to pray for the souls of purgatory. I want to pray for vision. Lord, for those who are having loss of sight, those who have lost their sight, those who have macular degeneration or any sort of problems right now, Lord, retinopathy, I just give you the eye and I ask that you just glaucoma, whatever the cause may be, and I just ask for healing in that area. St. Lucy, pray for us. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I'll see if I can in this last decade get several more calls in, so if you're on hold, I'll do my best. Philadelphia is up next. Marie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I would like to pray for the lift of depression that I've been suffering for a couple of years.
Sorry.
I've gone to many, many doctors. I've been on many, many pills. Nothing works. But, you know, I feel consolation with this Divine Mercy chocolate.
Oh.
So I just want to keep on going. And I don't know, the power of prayer, I guess. So please lift my intention for that, please.
We'll do that. And I just want to express my heartfelt just sorrow for what you're going through. I don't know what it's like to suffer with this, but I just know it's so debilitating. It's like a dark veil that falls over so many people, and medication and treatment doesn't help. Marie, you're right. God is a divine physician. He certainly can help, and he certainly can heal, and depression's not greater than he is. And Lord, I ask you, lift that veil from your daughter here, who has tried everything. She's pursued medical treatment, and I just ask that in a special way for those who are struggling this day with depression and with anxiety disorders, those two areas, so many reports of that, that you heal whatever the wound is, whatever the dysfunction is, whatever the imbalance is, Lord, whatever is causing this, that you enter deep and you heal it. And Marie, when you go through this, just repeat that prayer. Jesus, I trust in you. Just say it over and over again. As you begin to feel this come on you, just put your trust in the Lord. Diana in Nevada, good afternoon.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just want to pray. My son and daughter-in-law and my daughter are no longer speaking to each other. It's caused such a rift in our family. I'm heartbroken. I just pray that their hearts can be softened and we can be a family again. Because it's heartbreaking every day to see our family just broken.
Especially as a parent, I would hate that. I would just,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's so hard. You want those children to be together. Look, let's bring them to the Lord, Diana. We'll pray right now for your family, that whatever division, misunderstanding, hurt is there, that the Lord in his mercy will heal. That this prayer will be an ointment, a balm that will heal whatever wound is and bridge that gap. But I pray for children who are divided, siblings. I pray for parent, child, and wherever there is that ruptured relationship, that break between family members, or friends, or coworkers, that you heal. And I think of what St. Teresa of Avila often says. She said it very simply. She says, God is full of compassion, right? He's just, God is so full of compassion. This is what's been revealed to all the saints, Avila, to Faustina. And St. Teresa of Avila says, he never fails those who are afflicted and despised. If you trust him, God's there for you. So right now, Lord, I just give you those who feel this way. And I just ask that you come in and you intervene. I'll grab another call here. Mark's in Mankato, Minnesota. Hi, Mark. Good afternoon.
Drew, Maggie, God bless you both for this. I appreciate it. I have a couple of things here. I wanted to pray again for your Congress that we're having in Mankato this Saturday.
Yeah.
I also wanted to send a prayer for my wife, just because she stuck with me through all the dumb things I've done in my life. And most of all for my two daughters.
Good wife.
This Friday, they are leaving for Italy for a band and choir trip through school. And they're, I'm really hoping that, you know, everything just goes well and that they get along. And most of all, my oldest daughter will be turning 17 on the 17th, and they'll be at the Vatican that day. And just hoping for some extra things.
What do they call that? Your golden birthday when it falls on the same day?
Yes.
That's great.
Yes.
Oh, what a great place to be.
Yes.
Hey, I think I remember you. I think we prayed for this before. Last month, you might have called, if I recognize a voice. Correct me if I'm wrong. But you prayed for a friend with thyroid cancer and for some girl that was contemplating suicide, I think.
Yes. So the lady that has thyroid cancer just had surgery the other day. And as far as I know, everything went well. Heard back. Yes. And I haven't heard back anything definitively on that. And as far as the two girls that I actually called in about, again, haven't heard anything about them.
Okay.
But for me right now, no news is good news. So,
amen.
I continue to keep them in our prayers too, all the time.
Hey, Mark, thank you for your call. No, go ahead. Finish your thought. Yep. No, go ahead.
No, I just really wanted to thank you and Maggie for everything and for all the people that are on hold right now and just hoping that people can find peace. We need to have peace in our hearts.
God amen bless today. You, Mark.
So thank you so much.
You got it, Mark. Yeah, we're a family here, aren't we, Maggie? You can sure hear the are. Love and the connection in the heart of so many people. There's nothing like this. You know, this is such a powerful time of prayer, such a powerful prayer period. And I'm so grateful to be able to pray with you and along with you. I thank you for your prayers. Maggie and I deeply appreciate it. And let's turn to our Lord, who I know loves us in an incomprehensible way. And we'll just give him our hearts now and all those intentions that didn't make it to air and those that we have. And Lord, I just ask for your mercy. I pray your will be done. I pray, eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Bishop Sheen,
pray for us.
Saint Paczynski,
pray for us.
Majard Magella,
pray for us.
Saint Lucy,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We got a lot to get into. There's been reports of strange rumblings taking a place, and I've reported on this in the past. A little bit later, I want to talk to you about what is now being reported. And I don't know if you heard the news. Supposedly, a very high-ranking intelligence officer claims that we have exotic material, actually craft, that are not of this world. Are we at a threshold of something that we have AI, right, which is rising? What about aliens? Are we going to be the generation that discovers whether or not there's intelligent life? Padre Pio, John Paul II, even Our Lady, they've been asked about these things. I'll fill you in on what they had to say. All that and more coming up. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Hey, looking for a new job? How about one that offers opportunities for spiritual, social, and charitable growth? Our sponsor, Catholic Order of Foresters, is hiring new agents today. Visit relevantradio.com/forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
In a historic 3-2 vote, the Oklahoma Statewide Virtual Charter School Board voted to approve the nation's first religious charter school funded by public tax dollars. This vote has put Oklahoma in a spotlight no other state in the nation has been in before.
Mr. Bobeck?
Yes.
Mr. Pearson?
No.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for joining me. That's developing, and it's a big story, and I want to get into that with you, unpack that, and we'll, of course, talk about the strange rumblings. We'll talk about a lot of the other things that are looming as well, especially that report of supposedly alien technology that has been identified. We'll see. Well, that's all coming up. But right now, if you are just tuning in, like one of my producers says, hey, have you heard what's happening in terms of this story? And you may not, so let me fill you in on what's going on here. In Oklahoma, there's been this, really throughout the country, there's been a constant struggle between parochial and public schools. Ever since, you know, the Catholic school was established in Philadelphia back in 1783, I think it was a year. Public schools, of course, controlled by local school boards. They are supported by taxpayer dollars. And with a Protestant majority, those boards were dominated by Protestants who did not really want any sort of popish influence. And during the 19th century, we had this thing called the Blaine Amendment, and it was proposed for the Constitution, which would have forbidden any taxpayer money from supporting religious schools. The amendment failed. 34 schools added the Blaine Amendment to their state constitution, and those have mostly been rendered useless now that after the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, had ruled in favor of religious schools receiving taxpayer monies in Maine and Montana. But in those, and we talked about that before, but in those cases, the states were given money, they were giving money to private schools while excluding religious schools from getting it. And there are now a lot of school choice programs in states where parents can take the money that would normally go to their local school district and use it to pay for their children's education at any school of their choice, including a religious one. That might be news to you. There's something completely different going on. Back to Oklahoma, right? The two Catholic dioceses, Oklahoma City and Tulsa, they got together on a new statewide school using computer technology, but they applied to the state to make it a charter school. So in other words, this school would be a Catholic school fully funded by taxpayer money. And to my knowledge, that's something that has never been done before in our country. Never been done. As you heard, earlier in the program, a state education board recently approved the application in a 3-2 vote, but it's almost certain to face challenges in the courts after the Americans United for Separation of Church and State and the ACLU weren't happy. Brett Farley is the executive director of the Oklahoma Catholic Conference and is on the board of this new school. He's here to fill us in on why this is so significant and what it might portend for the rest of the country. More importantly, you. Hey, Brett, good to have you with me today. Good afternoon.
Great to be with you, Drew. That was a great retelling of the story. I probably couldn't have done a better job myself.
It's something I've been following for a while, this whole issue of school choice and some of the disparities and inequities that we have seen. The idea behind the school, I mean, why ask the state to completely fund it? Fill us in.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm sure you know, the big problem in the rural area of Oklahoma and most states is that there's a vast need of just quality education. You know, the public schools are not cutting the mustard. I learned this just recently that most high schools in rural Oklahoma don't have AP science and math courses, and yet we're expected to have these students compete at the collegiate level, and it's not working. And so, you know, obviously the Catholic Church has had a mission for 500 years to meet the most dire needs of folks where they're at. But building Catholic schools in the rural areas of the state is just cost prohibitive. So we said, look, you know, some of the things that we've learned coming out of the pandemic in terms of possibility with technology means we can do some things in a virtual environment that just aren't possible in a bricks and mortar environment. If we can partner with the state and have them finance that, then, boy, the sky's the limit in terms of meeting those needs. And also, I'll say, there's a vast need in the special education area. As many as 20% of our kids have some level of special education need, whether it's, you know, mild dyslexia to autism. And public schools are just not cutting the mustard again in that area either. And we have a mission to do that as Catholic Church. And so we aim to do that. And if it's funded by the state, then I think there's just a lot of possibility, not just to meet those needs, but actually to set the new bar.
Well, this would be a game changer. Really, for education, for a lot of people. I think it's Canada. Canada has Catholic schools that are funded by the state, as do a lot of Catholic schools in Europe. But Canada's recent experience, it shows that there could be some trouble with the government dictating what the schools are required to teach. How do you see that playing out here? Is that one of the challenges of this model? And what are the dangers of it?
Yeah, it's a legitimate concern and one that is constantly at the forefront of what we're doing. And it's for that reason that, I wouldn't recommend a project like this in a lot of the states that, are pretty antagonistic to the church. I wouldn't even recommend something like this in Texas, because some of the regulations are just way too onerous. The tentacles of government are far too overreaching. And so, we've got to be very selective in where something like this might succeed. We've been very vigilant in Oklahoma and in ensuring that we have policies in place to protect religious liberty so that those kinds of things, those tendencies of government to reach into the regulatory sphere don't become too overreaching. And so we're pretty confident in doing that, but we're going to remain vanguard on that and continue to protect the rights of Catholic schools.
But you got some challenges ahead of you, though, don't you? The Americans United for Separation of Church and State, the ACLU, they've already indicated they're going to sue. There's a lot of money behind them. What are the grounds they're going to use? And this will be a huge case because depending on how it's decided, that will determine, what education is going to be like in this country going forward.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way around it. It's going to be a big case. We do expect one or both of them to sue. Whether they sue in state court or federal court, who knows? But it will likely hinge on a constitutional question. Obviously, given the Supreme Court precedents that you mentioned, we think we're in the right. We think we've got a lot of backing by those opinions that were very specific about religious discrimination and the First Amendment protections that we have as church. But there's a lot of ground that we're going to have to cover between here and an ultimate decision, which may finally end up in the Supreme Court. This case has the potential to be sort of the Roe v. Wade of school choice.
Wow.
There's a lot of time between now and there. We'd have to see a suit in lower federal court, and if it were appealed ultimately to the circuit, and then finally to the U.S. Supreme Court. But that's a battle that we can't not take up on behalf of the church and more broadly religious liberty in general.
That's right.
This is not just a Catholic fight. This is an American First Amendment fight.
It's such a great point. Who's on board with you? Is this simply a Catholic thing or is this other organizations?
No, we've got broad-based support across the Christian spectrum because folks recognize what's at stake. It's both a religious liberty fight, but it's also a school choice fight. We recognize that public schools largely have failed parents, and what they've learned coming out of the pandemic is that their kids need more and they're demanding more, which is, at least here in Oklahoma, we've seen, regardless of party affiliation, 75% plus support for more school options. And so, we see what we're doing here as just a part of that broader plan across the board to expand school choice so parents can be the deciding factor in whether their kids are going to get the best education possible. And of course, the church's mission is to do that anyway.
I don't know the law regarding this. Is there, I would assume there's a law that forbids this kind of public money for going to religious schools?
There is. And I think you hit the nail on the head talking about the history behind the Blaine Amendment. Oklahoma, unfortunately, is one of the Blaine states. And that's really the crux of the debate here in the state is whether those laws can still remain applicable. We have both a Blaine Amendment and a statute that has come out of that amendment that expressly prohibits sectarian charter schools. Now, of course, our opinion is that the Supreme Court has rendered those things moot because of the Espinoza and Carson decisions. And our law experts that are backing us up at Notre Dame and elsewhere have said that essentially. The previous attorney general issued an opinion last year essentially saying that, look, the Supreme Court's been clear three times now. That discriminating against religious entities because they're religious is a violation of the First Amendment. And so we're relying on that opinion and that precedent, and we think we've got quite a bit of confidence to move forward and defend those rights in court.
All right, let's grab a call or two. If you want to join us, the number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. My guest today, Brett Farley, and Annette is in Sacramento, California. She's got a comment for you. Hi, Annette.
Hi. I would just really be concerned about taking money from federal or state because of hiring practices and your ability to hire people who are in line with the teachings of the church.
Yeah, that's a valid concern. And that's something, again, that we also keep forefront. There's other Supreme Court precedent that protects the church in its hiring practices, the ministerial exception. We have that protection in place. We also have policies in both of our dioceses that allow us to continue ensuring that, that folks that are teaching in an educational environment are going to do so in line with church teaching. So we're pretty confident in that, but you're right. We've got to remain vigilant on that front as well because, you know, we have a mission we have to protect.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, Annette, thank you. Kathy in Southern California, good afternoon.
Hi there. I'm not really sure exactly how to phrase this, but I find it interesting that we're being limited in terms of where our tax dollars can or can't be given in terms of education, but we have zero say in what medical practices our government is choosing to fund in terms of abortion, sex change, other kinds of things. It's like in one corner, yes, they want to use our money without our say-so. In this case, they won't use our money in a place where we want it used.
Well, that's a great point. You know, I actually made that point earlier today on a phone call. You know, one of the criticisms we get is, you know, folks object to this idea that their tax dollars can be used for religious instruction. My retort to that is, look, why don't we get to object when our tax dollars are being used to tell kids that they can change their gender? It goes both ways. You can't pick one way and not the other. So that's a sword that cuts both ways, and we've got to make that argument because there's just a lot of misinformation going on out there.
All right, well, Kathy, thanks for the call. I'll tell you what, Brett, hold the thought. I'm going to take a short pause.
Sure.
Roy in Madison, Wisconsin. You always bring a lot of joy to the conversation. We'll grab you when we come back. We're talking right now about the Oklahoma Catholic Charter School. Some big news in what might, you know, loom for the future in terms of school choice. My guest is Brett Farley. He hails from the Oklahoma Catholic Conference. He's on the board of this new school. Our conversation will continue right after this. Hey, looking for a new job? How about one that offers opportunities for spiritual, social, and charitable growth? Our sponsor, Catholic Order of Foresters, is hiring new agents today. Visit relevantradio.com/forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Conversations so good, you'll want to hear them twice. Check out Drew's podcast on relevantradio.com or anywhere podcasts can be found.
Hey, thanks for joining me. It is good to be here with you today. If you are just tuning in, Brett Farley is joining me, executive director of the Oklahoma Catholic Conference. He's on the board of a new school, and we are taking a look at, school choice. I hate to make it as simple as that, but the Catholic Diocese of Oklahoma City and Tulsa got together on a new statewide initiative, a school using computer technology, and they applied to the state to make it a charter school. And this school is going to be fully Catholic, but here's the thing. It's going to be funded by taxpayer money. And as I was saying a little bit earlier, this is something that I don't think has ever been done before in our country. And we're taking your calls, your questions, talking a little bit about what this might mean for the future of education. A lot of people would love to send their kids to Catholic school, but they just can't afford it, right? It's a sacrifice. I'm stunned at how much some people pay for Catholic education, and I've always bemoaned it because I don't think it's fair. I think, you know, we need well-formed children, and economics should not limit kids from being able to get to a Catholic school. Brett, let me follow up on one other thing, and we'll grab a couple quick calls here too.
Sure.
Right now, the current slate of elected and appointed officials, I mean, it's running in your favor, if I'm correct on that. But what happens if that turns? Will this then become a memory, or you know, what do you see in terms of how that might play out?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't have a lot of concern about that because, you know, generally when you offer a program like this, a public benefit where particularly parents are taking advantage of it, it very quickly becomes a sacred cow. You can't put that toothpaste back in the tube.
Yeah.
And because, you know, folks very quickly realize how great of a program it is. And, you know, the possibility of revoking that is just political suicide. And we've seen that with other school choice programs. You know, the overwhelming support that we had for the tax credit program the governor signed into law a couple of weeks ago is another case in point. So once those things are enacted, it is political suicide to try to undo that, no matter what their party affiliation is. Yeah. So we're pretty confident moving forward that this will remain in place.
Roy in Madison, thank you for your patience. Good to have you on the air.
Oh, Drew, excuse me. Thanks for taking my call. I just couldn't get to you fast enough. This is another reason why we need relevant radio in America. Where would I have heard about this? Where, the regular news media won't talk about this. The radio stations that play bebop. I mean, this is why relevant radio. Drew, it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, relevant radio is like for America. You know, not just Catholics. That's the way I feel.
Amen. I feel the same way.
My grandkids are Catholic, and they're gonna. I'm gonna see that they go to Catholic high school here in Madison. I don't care how much it costs, Drew.
Yeah.
And I'm a public school church person, you know. But thank God for the Catholic Church and for relevant radio. That's all I can.
And that comes from a man who's not even Catholic, Roy. And I love hearing that from you. You're willing to pay for Catholic education
you
for your
take
kids.
The fight for America. You guys are for America. The way it is, praise God for you guys, Drew.
Well, that's the beauty of our faith. I mean, we're not partisan, you know, and of course, we're for all people. We have people who are Catholic and non-Catholic, who are religious and non-religious that tune in. There's always something here. Roy, I'm grateful for your call, and I hope something goes your way to the state of Wisconsin to help lighten that financial burden for Catholic education. Lisa is in Tucson, Arizona. Brett, she's got a comment for you. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. And although this is a wonderful idea and a proposition to help parents and send children to Catholic school, my concern is that then you would have entities such as the TST, which I don't even like to say their name, using this as a way, claiming freedom of religion as a way of starting up their own school. And that would be my concern.
Sure.
You know, I did
Lisa,
work with
I think that's
somebody
a valid
from
concern.
There, and it was horrible. It was awful. They're very rabid, and they will use that as a way of opening up.
That's a great point, themselves. Lisa. Great point.
Yeah,
Thank you.
It's a valid concern, and we get that concern quite a bit. Here, a couple of replies. And actually, Arizona is a great case in point for the first reply. You know, the assumption here is that sort of rogue religious affiliations, can only take advantage of a charter environment. In fact, all the school choice programs that are already enacted, particularly in places like Arizona, you guys are very aggressive on the school choice front. You know, if it was that easy for them to take advantage of them, they would have already. But we don't see any schools of Satanism, for instance, popping up around the country, despite all of these aggressive school choice programs. And so if it were that simple, we would have already seen it. Because at the end of the day, access to the program isn't the only barrier. You actually also have to have demand for the school. And I don't know about you, but I don't know any parents in Oklahoma that want to send their kids to a school that's going to be teaching them how to do human sacrifice. So there has to be demand to justify the implementation of the school before they ever take advantage of any of the programs, whether it's a charter or a tax credit program or what have you. And so the fact there's no demand, I think, is enough barrier to keep me happy.
Hey, Lisa, thank you. I think it's a great point. I didn't think about that. It's always a concern. And for those who don't know what TST stands for, it's the Satanic Temple. And as Brett pointed out, you know, what if a nefarious or dark or, you know, satanic group wanted to have their own school and have a taxpayer funded? I know I wouldn't be happy about that. But, Brett, I think you explained it pretty well. Hey, thank you for being here. If people want more information or they want to follow the story, is there a resource you want to recommend?
Yeah, we're getting our new website up and running right now, so that's not launched yet. But if folks want to keep tabs on what we're doing, the best place would be the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City website, which is archokc.org.
All right, Brett, thank you. We'll continue to follow the story. I'm very interested to see how this
pans out.
Yeah,
I'd be happy to come back on and give you an update.
I look forward to it. Thank you. That's Brett Farley. He's executive director of the Oklahoma Catholic Conference and is on the board of that new school. And this is a huge story that is just now developing, and we'll stay on top of it for you. Hey, coming up in a few moments, I don't know if you heard this report or not. I'm fascinated by it, to be honest with you. I think it's really intriguing. A former intelligence official turned whistleblower has given Congress and the intelligence community inspector general extensive classified information about a deeply covert program that he says possesses retrieved, now listen to this, intact and partially intact craft of non-human origin. What? Think about that. Retrieved craft of non-human origin. The information, he says, has been illegally withheld from Congress. He filed a complaint alleging that he suffered illegal retaliation for his confidential disclosures. And other intelligence officials, supposedly both active and retired, with knowledge of these programs through their work in various agencies, they have independently provided very similar corroborating information, both on and off the record. And this whistleblower is a decorated former combat officer in Afghanistan, a veteran of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, National Reconnaissance Office. He's got some credentials behind him. And, he was part of a task force established to investigate what are called unidentified flying objects. Now they're called unidentified anomalous phenomena, UAPs, right? This task force was led by the Department of the Navy under the office and under the Secretary of Defense for Intelligence and Security. And it's this guy's coming out. He's saying, wait a minute, we have exotic material. You know, we've been gathering this stuff for decades. So how true is it? Material of exotic origin, non-human intelligence. Now, whether it's extraterrestrial or unknown origin, I don't know. But we're going to take a look at what is coming. Are we on the verge, perhaps, of a disclosure that really may change the world, that we are not alone out there? And let's talk about it spiritually as well, right? What does that mean for us? Did God create the universe and give us dominion over? Or do we have brothers and sisters? Will we explore the universe as we explored the world? We'll take a look at it.